Blog Talk Radio.
I come on my knees to lay down before you, bringing all that I am, longing only to know you, seeking your face, and not only your hand, I find you embracing me just as and I lift these songs to you and you alone. As I sing to you in my praises, make your home to my audience of one. You are Father and you are Son. As your spirit flows free, let it find within me a heart that beats to praise you. And now just to know you more has become my great reward. To see your kingdom come and your will be done, I only desire to be could I bring to honor your majesty? What song could I sing that would move the heart of royalty? When all that I have is this life that you've given me, so Lord, let me live for you, my song with humility. And Lord, as the love song of my life is faith, I have one desire to bring glory to your name, to my your spirit flows free. Let it find within me a heart that beats to praise you. And now just to know you more has become my great reward. To see your kingdom come and your will be done, I only desire to be yours, Lord.
glory because of who you are. I give you praise because of who you are. I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
God, I thank you for another opportunity, God, to sit before your people to tell them what thus says the Lord. God, I thank you for giving me the strength tonight, God, to bring forth this message the way that you gave it to me, God, so that your name may get the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Prolific Fire, everybody. I am your humble host, Prophet Stacy. Thank you for taking the time to join me on tonight. I pray that the word of the Lord will be a blessing unto you on tonight. The foundational text comes from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. That's 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 12 through 16 from the NIV. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, I'm going to read this again for emphasis. Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Again, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 12 through 16 from the NIV. According to the Macmillan Dictionary, despise means to hate someone or something and have no respect means to hate someone or something and have no respect for them. So here Michal was in tonight's foundational text, married to King David, a man she despised in her heart, a man she had lost all respect for. And one thing about a man, a man needs respect. A man needs to feel he is respected. We don't always understand that as women. We don't always get that as women. But respect is big to a man. But respect is big to a man. God says respect for a man is equivalent to love. God says respect for a man is equivalent to love. Especially in a case like tonight's foundational text, where the man is your husband, the head of your household, and he's out front being a leader. He's well known and people respect him. He's well known and people respect him. But when he comes home, he gets no respect. He comes home and there's no love there waiting for him. Because according to you, love don't live here anymore. When the marriage is loveless. Tonight's message. Still again, you must remember, God says respect for a man is equivalent to love. Instead, like Michal, King David's wife, you've been watching him, critiquing him, and in your opinion, what he's doing is not right. You've been critiquing him, you've been watching him, and in your opinion, what he's doing is not right. It doesn't look right. Even though he's where he's supposed to be, doing what he was assigned to do. You let the devil come in. That's the problem. You let the devil come in and steal the love you once had for a good man. All because you don't agree, with his methods. You don't agree with the way he goes about getting things done. Somebody, we have allowed the devil room. And he has come in and stole from you and your spouse. You allowed the devil room, and he has come in and stole from you and your spouse. Come in and killed what affection you had left for your spouse. Destroyed what could have been. He totally destroyed what could have been. And you often, when you're at home, sit around and think about what could have been. Because it's not like that now, so you find yourself thinking about what could have been. But the devil, the thief, did what he's been known to do. John 10:10 puts it like this. John 10:10 from the King James Version says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy." The New Living Translation says, "The thief's purpose is to steal, and kill, and destroy." That's his purpose. He's doing his purpose. He's just doing his purpose. And so now you're learning. And somebody, and now you're learning. And so now you're learning that marriage is not a fairy tale. Not even if your husband is a king named David. Not even if your husband is a king named David, there would still be problems. Hear me, there would still be problems. Michal had a problem with David, her husband. She had a problem with his behavior. She had a problem with his behavior. One commentary says she didn't appreciate David's exuberant worship. She felt it wasn't dignified for the king of Israel to express his emotions before God. She felt it wasn't dignified for the king of Israel to express his emotions before God like that. So she despised him. So she despised him. And she watched him with hatred in her heart as he danced before the Lord. Now, when I think about tonight's text, I can't help but think about how many women I know who would love to be married to a God-fearing man. I can't help but think about how many women I know who would love to be married to a God-fearing man. A man who stands and leads by example. A man who provides, but who also is a giver and doesn't mind giving God the glory every step of the way. A man like David, like King David. He was a man after God's own heart, as the Bible calls him in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. And then again, the Bible repeats itself and calls him a man after God's own heart, again in Acts 13 and verse 22. And he was also a man who didn't mind dancing, showing his emotions before God for how good God had been to him. He didn't mind dancing and showing his emotions before God for how good God had been to him. God had made him king instead of Saul, and he didn't mind showing his appreciation by dancing and showing all his emotions. But somehow for his wife, Michal, this was a problem. This was a problem. That was a problem. Somebody listening in tonight. Now, do you hear how petty all of that sounds? It really sounds like Michal was just looking for a reason to hate on David. It just looks like, sounds like she was just trying to find a reason to hate on David, looking for a reason to start something with her husband. You know, some people just argumentative by nature. So it really just seems like, looks like, sounds like she was just trying to start something with her husband. Do you see it now? That's the main thing. Do you see it now? Because sometimes you can't see pettiness when you're the one being petty. Do you see it now? Because sometimes you can't see pettiness when you're the one being petty. Disclaimer, this is my disclaimer. Listen closely. The next statement I need to make is not, I repeat, is not for those of you in an abusive controlling marriage. This statement is not for those of you in an abusive, controlling marriage. That's another subject altogether. But God says some of you are looking for a way out of your marriage. God says some of you are looking for a way out of your marriage unfairly. Some of you are looking for a way out of your marriage unfairly just because you feel like you don't love them anymore. You see, somewhere along the way, somebody lied to you, whether it was a parent, a teacher, a family friend, I don't know. But somebody told you that love was a feeling. Somebody told you, somebody lied to you and told you that love was a feeling. Somebody right now, hear me. You've spent all your life thus far chasing a feeling. You are always looking to feel loved. You are always looking to feel loved. And when you couldn't find what you believe love to be, when you couldn't feel what you believe love to be, it left you hurt. And hurt is a feeling, just like pain is a feeling, as well as happiness is a feeling. They are all feelings, but love is not a feeling. Think with me. You know I like to make you think on prolific fire, so think with me. If love was a feeling, do you really think God felt like giving his only son for the world? If love was a feeling, like you have been led to believe, do you really think God felt like giving his only son for the world? Of course he did. But because he loved the world, as it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 3:16, New King James Version. He decided to give his only begotten son. He decided to give his son and keep his feelings out of it. That's important that you hear this on tonight. He decided to give his son and keep his feelings out of it. Hear me. You might get mad with me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You might get mad, but oh yes, I'm going to tell you the truth. Love is not a feeling. I'll say it again. Love is not a feeling, because I want you to get it in your head. I'm going to say it one last time. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. And sometimes you have to decide to love them. And sometimes you have to decide to love them and keep your feelings out of it. On those days when they're literally getting on your nerves, you know those days, on those days when they're literally getting on your nerves, that's when you have to choose to keep your feelings out of it. That's when you have to choose to keep your feelings out of it and not say what you want to say. That's when you have to choose to keep your feelings out of it and not say what you want to say, but decide to love them anyway. Ephesians 4:2-3 from the New Living Translation. It starts off saying, always be humble and gentle. Then it goes on to say, be patient with each other. That's what God wants you to do as a married couple. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Why does he want you to be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults? He wants you to do it because of your love. While you're around here claiming that you don't love them anymore, God is reinforcing on tonight that you do these things because of your love. Meaning it's not gone. It's still there. You just don't know it. So do this because of your love. And the next part of the verse says, make every effort to keep yourselves in unity. Make every effort to keep yourself in unity. Every effort to keep yourself united in the spirit. binding yourselves together with peace. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14 from the New Living Translation, it says, make allowances for each other's faults. Okay? We just read that in Ephesians 4, so that must be important. God is saying it again in Colossians 3, 13 through 14. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you, even your spouse. Forgive anyone who offends you, even your spouse. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. The Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. It might be hard right now, but forgive. And then the rest of the verse says, above all, clothe yourselves, here you go, with love. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And then let's look at Hebrews 13 and 4. In Hebrews 13 and 4 from the New Living Translation, it says, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. In the King James Version of the same scripture, which again is Hebrews 13 and 4, King James Version, it says, it talks about the marriage bed being undefiled. It talks about the marriage bed being undefiled. And God says, tell them tonight, not only do I not take pleasure in adultery, not only do I not take pleasure in adultery, but it also brings me no glory to see the intimacy, the love from their marriage. Tell them, not only do I not take pleasure in adultery, but it also brings me no glory to see the intimacy, the love script from their marriage over something petty. Because a whole lot of y'all are holding something against your spouse that's just plain down petty. Like Michael in tonight's text, it was just plain down petty. Because anybody else would love to have a husband that was out doing what David was doing at that particular time. Let me pray over your marriages tonight, however the Lord leads. And this concludes the message right after the prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray for every marriage, God, represented here tonight under the sound of my voice, whether they're listening live or to the replay, Lord God. I ask that you give them the strength, Lord God, to keep their feelings out of their marriage from now on. Keep their feelings out of their marriage and just make a decision. Make a decision tonight to love their spouse. If their spouse is not abusive or controlling or committing adultery, I ask that you give them the strength to love them. Give them the strength to make the decision to love them, to forgive them, to make allowances for that other person's fault. To not just look at themselves, but to look at that other person and have mercy. To look upon their spouse and have mercy. Look upon that person that really feels like the love is gone. Help them to feel that the love is still there. Since they need to feel it, help them to feel it. Although love is not a feeling, help them to feel what they believe that love is, so that they can stay connected to their spouse, getting what they need emotionally. Touch somebody emotionally tonight, God. Touch them and restore them, Lord God. Help them to look upon their spouse with affection, Lord God, the way that they used to when they first got married, God. Take somebody back to the first years of their marriage, Lord God. Take others forward, Lord God, to better years in their marriage, God. And whatever way you need to take them on tonight, God, I ask that you bless and continue to bless, keep and cover that the marriage bed, that the intimacy between them, that the love between them will not be destroyed, separated, killed, or stolen because of some petty, something that could be dealt with. in a better manner, in a better way. I thank you, God, for every man on tonight that's doing what he knows to do, doing all he can do for his marriage, God. Help him to not give up and help his wife to see him as a man that is trying and help her to not despise him, even though the way he's trying may not meet her particular standards right now. Help her to know that this is a beginning point for him and to pray for him. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your spouse. Cover your spouse. Don't just wait for me to come on here and pray about spouses. Cover your spouse daily. And I seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus, the covering blood of Jesus, that nothing will come against the marriages. In the name of Jesus, amen. Father God, I ask that you look upon everybody that's not saved on tonight, God. Look upon them, Lord God, and call something to get their attention, that they may be drawn to you because of the situation. Help them, God, to bow their knee and to confess that Jesus is Lord, because that's the only way they're going to survive in this world right now and the coming days. Help them to get saved. Help them to want to get saved. Help them, God, to repent and turn their lives around, God. I ask, God, that you bring restoration upon them and bring it up on them speedily, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you need prayer, a Bible-based consultation, anytime during the week, you can always reach me by calling or texting 865-408-8690. Again, the number is 865-408-8690. Or just email prolificfire@gmail.com. That's prolificfire@gmail.com. However, if you're on the phone lines right now via Block Talk Radio and you have a specific prayer request that's unrelated to the word that the Lord just brought forth, because you should have received that by faith, if your prayer request is unrelated to that, then here are the phone rules for tonight, especially for you. Get your prayer request in your head. Get it in your head and press 1. Press 1 on your phone. Press 1 on your phone now. I will call out your area code just so you know that you're about to be on the air and I'm talking about you. I will not call out any more than your area code. Again, that's just to let you know that I am talking to you. But wait until you hear me say hello. Wait until you hear me say hello and properly greet you before you begin to talk. That way, not only will God hear your prayer request, but I will hear it and proceed accordingly. Now the announcements. If you need this ministry's PayPal or Cash App info, you can access the PayPal by going to paypal.me/prolificfire. That's paypal.me/prolificfire if you feel led to so. Or you can go to the Cash App. It's a $ and the ministry's name, which would be $ Prolific Fire. The P in Prolific is capital. The F in Fire is capital, written all together. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophetess Stacy, like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. And if you need to, you can DM me, inbox me on either one of those. People do all the time. That is fine. If you don't get your prayer request in on tonight, or you don't reach out to me in private, you can always come back on Friday and get your prayer request dealt with then by joining us on Faith on the Line with Prophetess Page. It's always a wonderful time in prayer. The Lord always meets us there. So if you have a prayer request that you don't get dealt with tonight or in private, you can always call back on Friday. That's your next opportunity. for prayer and encouragement. Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. That's 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. By calling the same number that many of you called tonight, 347-426-3782. 347-426-3782. Your prayer request will be taken then, too. So call in. Then join me back here on Prolific Fire, same night, time, and place. The time is, well, it always is 10 Eastern, 9 Central, 7 Pacific. 10 Eastern, 9 Central, 7 Pacific on Monday night when Prophetess Paige will be with us ministering however the Lord leads her to do so. So be sure to tune in for that. It's going to be a powerful time in the Lord. With all of that being said, I'm coming to the phone line. So if you have a prayer request, I'm coming to you. To God be the glory.